as I look out the window here just from the office, like, I mean, I can see thousands upon thousands of people who are queuing up, and it seems to be quite warm outside. I see a lot of umbrellas up, not for the rain, but for to keep the sun out of people's eyes. And there's thousands of people there, and especially thousands of young people. Of course, this weekend was to be the canonization of Carlo Acutis as well. So Rome is just abuzz with thousands and thousands of people. You know, and they're all there now queuing up. The Basilica will close at 5 o'clock, and they're all queuing up to go and pay their respects, because, like, I mean, as a Catholic family, the death of Pope Francis is the death of a family member, and for us, our spiritual father. So, you know, it's very much a time of bereavement. It's a time of mourning. And I know then, you know, the media are outside, and they're all getting set up, obviously, for what's coming after the burial that will take place tomorrow. You know, they'll immediately go into conclave mode. But, you know, for the moment, there's a very somber mood. It's certainly a mood of the fact that we've lost, physically lost somebody who just seems to have had a personal contact and impact upon the lives of so, so many. You know, you go out there now and you speak to any person on the street, and they'll say, yeah, he was one of us. He spoke to us personally. He could identify with us. You know, he understood us, and we understood him. And he was, you know, for many, he was like that father figure. He was like that grandfather figure. But especially, he was like that Christ figure for so many people. And many people came to experience Christ who perhaps are not of the Catholic faith, the Christian faith, or of any faith. But through him, they came to experience, as he has often said himself and asked of all Christians, to exemplify identity of Christ, the life of Christ, as he called them, the signs of Christ, or the style of Christ's life, which he summed up in three words: closeness, compassion, and tenderness. And he himself embodied that first and foremost in his own life, his closeness to Christ. Like, I mean, he was up at every morning at 4 o'clock, and what, you know, the thing that, you know, we don't see, you know, that we don't hear about is, you know, for 3 hours in the morning, he was in the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament in silent prayer. And that gave him all the graces necessary then for the day ahead. But it was primarily that closeness with God. And he experienced that tenderness, that compassion from God in his own life. And we know throughout the many events in his life. But he wanted then to really convey that love, that tenderness, that compassion, that closeness of God to each and every one of us, irrespective of whomsoever that we may think we are, others may think of us. But especially what was important for him was that each one of us was a child of God, loved by God, created especially by God for greatness in this life and for eternity.
Tell us about your memories of Pope Francis and your own interactions with him, Father Eamon.
Catherine, look, I mean, this is through no merit of my own that I'm saying this, or that I've had such beautiful encounters with him, because, like, I mean, you know, I grew up in Downings, and, you know, I'm from Donegal, and love to bits Donegal and you know, very much my Irish identity. So, you know, I didn't expect to be over here working in the first place. And then it's through the office, when I came over in 2017, that quite early on, I happened to meet him on numerous occasions. There were different events happening. And then work-wise, you know, we met personally on numerous occasions. And that would have been the first of it. And then I suppose that relationship started building, that personal friendship, that then 2 years ago, when Dad was very ill and he'd, you know, coming to the end of his treatment and so forth. And Pope Francis, I remember very well at a meeting we had with several hundred students at the time. And as Pope Francis was leaving, and he was struggling to walk at that stage, but he made his way over to me and he called me out from the crowd. And he just said to me, he said, look, as you know, I'm praying away for your father, because he would be in contact here nearly on a daily basis, just find out how he was, and trying to assure Mam and the rest of us as a family that he was praying for us, that he was close to us. And he called me out and he said to me, he said, it's time for you to go home. Because as you know, like, I mean, the Vatican here is kind of like a civil service. And so more than your good self, like, I mean, we all have a certain number of days for holidays, certain number of days for if you're sick or if there's a bereavement. So my days would have been limited. And I kind of thought, well, no, Dad, you know, we're probably looking at a month yet. But the Pope said to me, he said, it's time to go home. Your father has very little time left. And then at that point, I said, right, well, you know, if the Pope's telling me to go home, then it's time to go home. And he said, look, you're very blessed as a family that you can care for your father. There are many people who are sick and dying, and they have nobody to care for them. And he said, you need to go home and to take care of your father in his final days. And I went home, and my first day at home was Dad's last lucid day. So if I hadn't gone home that day, I would have missed that. And he went to his eternal reward 2 weeks after that.
Gosh, such a kind and caring person Pope Francis clearly was. You are a canon of the Papal Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore in mm-hmm. Rome, and that's where Pope Francis has chosen as his final resting place. Tell us about how your appointment came about. Obviously, it is so significant as it clearly held such a special place in his heart.
Yeah, Catherine, it's very simple, because at that meeting, you know, when he said that, he told me to go home, he said, now, just whenever your mother then, whenever she can get to Rome and the time is opportune and what have you, you know, I'd like to meet your mother and bring her over to meet me. So, Mom came to Rome many months later, along with my elder brother, Dennis, and, you know, I just sent a little note over to the Pope and said, look, is it possible that you could maybe give Mam a blessing? And at that point in time, he then ended up getting a severe infection. He was quite ill. But he insisted that I would call over and that we would meet with him. So when we went into that meeting in the sitting room, he was sitting in. I felt so guilty because the poor man wasn't well. But he insisted that, no, he wanted to meet Mam and all of us. So when I walked in the door, he pointed at me and he said, I'm appointing you a canon to St. Mary Major's Basilica. And I thought he was joking, of course, and I laughed. And three times he said it during the course of our meeting for maybe half an hour. And Mam, of course, doesn't speak a word of Italian. When she came out from that meeting, she said to me, I think he's appointed you to that place. And I said to Mam, that's impossible. I said, because a canon of a basilica is for a retired person, you know, it's for somebody who's given their life, a life of service and dedication to the Pope or to the Universal Church or whatever, but, you know, it's not for a young fella from Donegal. And Mam says, no, I think he appointed you to that. And I laughed at her, I laughed at the Pope. And the next morning I came into the office here and 8:05 the phone rang and basically was to confirm the appointment, and the rest was history. And so, you know, as I found out later, that appointment came about. The Pope asked that the Irishman here at the Dicastery for Clergy, where I'm working, he said that the Irishman would be part of the new canons going into the Basilica, because I want to renew the prayer life in the Basilica and the pastoral life in the Basilica, so that everybody who comes through those doors, that they encounter Christ, that they encounter a place of prayer where, you know, no matter who comes through those doors, pilgrim or tourist, but that everybody encounters the love, the compassion, that tenderness, that closeness of Christ for them. And that I would like the Irishman to be part of that. And he, you know, he said, we need an English speaker in there as well. So, you know, there you have it. The rest is history. So that's how I end up in there, through absolutely no merit, Catherine, of my own. But that's how it happened.
I think it is clear now, Father Eamon, that he did hold you in very high regard, for sure. Now,
yeah, but I don't know why. know? That's my point. Like, it's
you're
no merit of mine.
You're very humble now. You're very humble, Father Eamon. Father Eamon, obviously preparations are being finalised for Pope Francis's funeral tomorrow. A huge, huge international occasion. You'll be there, I imagine.
Catherine, please God, I'll be there tomorrow. And then, of course, you know, the remains of the Holy Father will be brought directly to St. Mary Major's Basilica, where he'll be laid to rest. Now, from what I understand, that's going to be private. Like, I mean, you probably know more about proceedings than I do because, you know, I've been in the office doing other things. And, you know, from the point of view then of the Basilica, like, I mean, you know, we've been praying the rosary every night for the Holy Father and different things. But from tomorrow on, the Basilica will close. It'll be closed tomorrow. The Holy Father, after the funeral at St. Peter's, the remains were brought over there. And, you know, whatever small delegation will be inside, the canons will be part of that. So, look, I mean, again, through no merit of mine, but I'm delighted and blessed to be able to be part of that. Please God, to be there for that. And the beautiful thing as well is that, you know, it's been decided that 40 of what we would call, or what the world might term as the poor, but of course as Pope Francis and our Blessed Lord recognize as the rich and the very wealthy, those who are downtrodden, those who are suffering, those who feel isolated, excluded, whatever, there will be 40 people on the steps of the Basilica to receive the Holy Father's remains when they arrive tomorrow, again, which typifies his papal ministry, his paternal closeness to all of us, and especially to those who find themselves less fortunate in life. And so the burial rites will take place, and then the Basilica will open again on Sunday to the public. So just to conclude by saying that I'd just like to assure your listeners that on Monday morning at 6:30, when I'll come down, I'm living upstairs at the Basilica, so I'll be living above the Pope's burial place. So I'll come downstairs and I'll go over to the tomb. The Basilica will be closed at that point. It opens at about 7:05 in the morning. And just to assure everybody that during that time, on a daily basis, that they're at the tomb of Pope Francis, that I'll be praying for their intentions, and especially as Pope Francis, you know, would have asked of us to pray, especially for those who are sick, anybody in any difficulty in life whatsoever. And then, of course, he would always insist on never forget grandparents. So just to assure everybody of my prayer, and as Pope Francis himself had always asked of anybody who ever met, pray for me. So I just ask everybody to pray for the happy repose of the soul of Pope Francis.